And let's work on memorizing that throughout this week ahead. All right, turn over to James chapter 3 this evening. James chapter 3. And we're continuing a series of messages on the tongue and inside of family basics. And I think this is part 11 of our family basics series. There's a lot that's been on my heart to cover regarding the family and areas by which we as parents and children and even those who are grandparents or in the family loosely of our church that you might call family. And it is a family. You may not be a parent. You may not be a mom or dad. You may not have brothers and sisters that are in this area, but you still have a family to interact with. And these are truths that are important for us. And I think important for us as parents to pass on to our children. And for those of us as adults to be a demonstration to other children with and families. In James chapter 3, we saw last week the beginning verses regarding the tongue, that the tongue needs to be controlled. And if it is controlled, it can be very useful. We notice now in verse number 5, notice with me James chapter 3, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And I want you to notice in particular that statement in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly, what's the next word?
Poison.
This is an incredibly powerful thing that is being spoken of. And tonight, I want you to consider a dangerous tongue. A dangerous tongue. And I pray that tonight we'll recognize the importance of maturing in our use of the tongue. James is written for the purpose of seeing maturity in believers. That Christians would grow in their walk, not just in what they say, but also in what they do. That their actions would follow their words. And, you know, it is important for people to observe in us the working of God, His grace at work in us. Not just that we say one thing, but that we are acting it out, that we are demonstrating it continually. And the importance of maturity is one that we can all grow from. And the taming of the tongue is something that will indicate whether maturing is taking place. We saw in verse number 2 of James 3, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, or complete, and able also to bridle the whole body. Maturity can be gauged by how well one controls the tongue. Parents, have you seen maturing go on with your children as what they say gets more and more mature, more and more appropriate, more and more in line with what you desire? I have rejoiced in that. You know, kids go from, they don't even have words formed, right? They just have sounds that are immature sometimes. And then they grow, and then they start saying yes, and then they say please, and they say thank you. Aren't those wonderful words in the home? Are those words of maturity? They are. And when children speak with maturity, you can know not just that they're complying with words, but that there's something that's following that. Maturing is visible, and it shows up in the words of children and adults. The words that are spoken, and the ability to not offend with words, the ability not to do harm with words, is a mark of maturing that's taking place in the life of not just children, but also adults. And I believe that there's a need for that maturing to continue as we go through this entire life, not just as we're children, but all through our life, there needs to be the maturing process of controlling the tongue. And tonight, I want you to see how dangerous the tongue can be. We saw last time in verses 1 and 2 that a controlled tongue is essential for leadership. Remember again in verse 1, be not many masters or teachers or instructors, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. An important recognition is that as those that teach or use the tongue, It can be useful, but there's a great amount of responsibility that comes with what is taught, what is said. And so don't be hasty to want to be the teachers if you're not going to notice that there's an importance about what is said and how one speaks. And we saw as well that a controlled tongue is useful or is essential for useful living. In verses 3 through 5, the illustration of the horse and of a ship and even of fire is given. And the point that we saw last time is that the tongue, if under control, if given input regarding how it's going to be used, much like the bridle on a horse or the helm on a ship, can turn about an incredibly powerful thing. Now, we know that our tongue, the fleshy part of our mouth that is spoken of here, is speaking of our words and what comes out. And I didn't mention this last time, but it's not just the words that you would speak. I would say in our culture today, it's important to recognize words and communication take place outside of just what comes out of our mouth, don't they? Can you communicate with things other than your mouth? Yes. Importantly, in our culture, you can do a lot of communicating with this, can't you? You can send words, you can send communication with your fingers. And the Bible doesn't have texting in the Bible, but the words that you would put in something written, the words that you would have in something spoken, all of them have power, don't they? Absolutely. There is power in our words and what is communicated. And the words of the tongue can come out so quickly. And texting, have you ever texted someone something incorrectly? I mean, just by accident. You know, autocorrect. Why did it say that? That's not what I wanted to say. But how many times have you said something in a text and realized, you know what, I sent that too fast. I didn't think about that. I didn't consider that before I sent it. There's an importance for us to consider the words that come out. And the words of our mouth, tonight I want you to notice, can be weapons. Tonight I want you to notice the dangerous weaponizing of the tongue. And in verses 6 through 10, the Bible says in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Potential for sin exists inside of the use of your tongue that is enormous. Have you ever been hurt by or seen the sinfulness of someone's tongue towards you? Oh, now come on, y'all. Has anyone ever said something unkind to you? Sinful. Has anyone ever used their tongue to hurt you? Knowingly. Wow. We got another message for tonight. No one's got problems with anyone ever hurting them with their tongue. No, this has happened in our lives. Every one of us. And you may be thinking, well, you know, I don't want to admit that that's happened. I think it's important to recognize it's happened to us. Because if I will see that it's happened to me, it'll also remind me that I very likely have done it to others. And in fact, tonight, what I don't want you to do is think of all the people who have ever hurt you with their tongues. That'd be easy to do, wouldn't it? You know, our mind can be thinking, oh, I wish they'll hear this. Oh, this would have been good for so-and-so. Let me send the CD or the tape or the link to this. But what about us? What about the times that you have used your tongue in a way that caused harm? Because tonight, James is not about figuring out everyone else's problems. It's about us seeing the things in our life that need to mature, the areas where we need to grow, the areas where I need to step up and use my tongue in a way that honors God. I want you to consider a number of ways in which our tongue can be weaponized tonight. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a number of them, so I hope that you're ready to take some notes. The weaponizing of the tongue, sinful speech, is something that we have to notice and take care of and address. And as we come tonight to understand areas that maybe we have been using our tongue as a weapon and maybe not recognizing how much of a weapon it has been or unintentionally harming we've done, I want you to note that once you're informed of something, it's important then what you do with what you're informed about. The Holy Spirit of God tonight might bring to mind words that have come out of your mouth or the interaction with others with words that you've not dealt with. Does the Holy Spirit ever do that? Bring back to mind, you need to deal with that person, with what you said or how you said that. Can I challenge you tonight? Don't come away from the service saying, well, I know what I ought to do, but don't do that. There may be a need to talk to a brother or sister or a mom or dad or a spouse with each other, or maybe even someone that's not even here tonight, and say, you know what, I've used my tongue toward you in a way that was sinful, and I want to admit that. That would be important for us to consider tonight. James 4:17, it's probably right across the page from you, says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. Okay, there are going to be things tonight that come to mind that need to be done going forward. And there may be some informing of your conscience tonight that this week you're going to recognize, if I'm going to be mature as a Christian, I can't act like that, speak like that, use my tongue in that way. So I want to challenge you tonight to consider these things. First one, how do we weaponize our words? Number one, careless words. Careless words. And we're going to jump around in Scripture a little bit this evening, but words that are reckless or hastily formed. Proverbs 17:28, if you want to turn over there. We're going to be in Proverbs a good bit tonight. And the book of Proverbs speaks often of the use of the tongue. And I want you to notice Proverbs 17:28. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. During World War II, there was a phrase, and you've probably seen this before, loose lips sink ships. How many of you have ever heard of that before? Yeah, there was a real need for the safety of sailors and their ships because of submarine attacks. And as ships would leave harbor, if people had spoken when they were in that port town, or spoken about where they were going or when they were leaving out, that information would oftentimes be picked up by spies who would communicate out to U-boats or submarines and try to pass on when a ship was going to leave. And if information was just readily available and communicated to the enemy, well, what would happen? Ships would be sunk. And so there was a need for people to be quiet, to not use their mouth. And can I challenge you as a Christian? Proverbs 17 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. If he learns when to not talk, when he learns not to speak, is that a challenge for us sometimes to be careful with when we talk? Careless words can come out very quickly, can't they? Very quickly can words come out, reckless, hastily formed words. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:3, just a couple pages back in your Bible, Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, when the Bible speaks of the word keepeth, it's talking about guarding or putting a watch on it or protecting what's going to come in and out. Now, gatekeeping what's going to come out of my mouth is important. Because if I'm not careful about what's going to come out, I'll end up causing harm. I'll end up hurting others. And careless words can be very, very common among immature Christians, immature young people and adults. Ever heard the expression, watch your mouth? You ever heard someone say that to someone? Watch your mouth. Now, yes, regarding language and use of language, what words they would say, but watch your mouth ought not just be something about don't use cuss words. Watch your mouth ought to be a constant thought on, is that the thing I ought to say, or should I keep my mouth closed? You know, it's really easy for us to see someone else and to see something going on and want to just throw in what we think about the matter. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I think this is important. Careless words may not always be intentionally thinking, well, I'm going to hurt them. No, I think oftentimes a lot of damage is done, hurt is done, with carelessness. I don't think there were sailors in ports that would say, hey, are there any spies out? I'm going to tell you what we're doing tomorrow so you can sink our ship. No, but the carelessness was that they weren't thinking, and by their lack of thinking, someone could be hurt. Someone could be damaged by it. And often damage is done with the tongue that was not premeditated. It wasn't planned. You don't have to set out to hurt someone for it to happen. How much effort do you put in as a Christian to not hurting others with your tongue? I am intentionally careful about what I say so that I don't hurt. Be important. It's an important reminder to watch out for careless words. Careless words. words that are not thought through. Here's a second one. Oh, by the way, regarding that careless thing, have you ever heard someone that says, well, I just say what I think? There's another word for that, or name, a loose cannon. Have you ever heard someone that's just, they're a loose cannon? Well, what does that reflect? A cannon does what? It blows things up. It destroys things. It can do harm. Yeah. There's a need for us to recognize our tongue can be a damaging, weaponizing type of effect if we're not careful with what we say. So be careful with our words. Here's a second thing, complaining words. Complaining words. James chapter 5 again. You can turn back over to James. James chapter 5 and verse 9. Says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. The word grudge is the idea of sigh or to groan. Throughout the scriptures, we find murmuring as an example of this, and you find in 1 Peter 4:9, you don't have to turn there, but it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And the word there is the idea of murmuring or complaining about it or muttering. Have you ever seen someone practice hospitality, but they didn't want to? They know they're supposed to be kind to someone, but it's like, you know, oh, we got to do that. Now, that kind of attitude coming out of our lips is damaging. It's dangerous. Words that aren't careful, that aren't thought through, are dangerous. Words that are filled with complaining, even on a small level, complaining is dangerous. Complaining has an effect. What's the result of a grumbling attitude? What comes of grumbling about things? Why do we have to do that? Oh, I don't like doing this. This is so... What comes of that? Well, remember that complaining is infectious. You remember what the Bible tells us of the spies that went into Israel to the promised land? And they came back in Numbers 14, the Bible says, and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Now, how many spies went into the land of Canaan? 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. You all know that song? Oh, some of you don't. How many were bad? 10 were bad. 2 were... Yeah. Two of them came back with a great report. We should go. But how powerful were 10 men against an entire nation? How powerful were the complaining, grumbling words of those 10 spies? Was it infectious in the people of Israel? Absolutely it was infectious. And you ought to know that one of the dangers of a tongue that complains is how rapidly it spreads amongst the ranks. How rapidly it can spread from one person to the next person to the next person. Can you believe that we have to do that? Yeah, can you believe that? Wow, hey, can you believe we're having to do that? Hey, yeah, that's really... And it just spreads. And by the way, children, kids, grumbling in the home spreads. It's never helpful. Kids, don't just talk to another child in the home about what you don't like mom and dad are doing. Now, parents, let me remind you, grumbling, murmuring, complaining spreads. You know that we can be the cause of sometimes the spreading of grumbling in our own homes. I know, this is family basics, so I'm going to be a little bit, where it hurts sometimes on us, okay? If I'm grumbling and complaining about something, will it pass on to anyone else? Yes, it absolutely will. It absolutely gets passed on. And it's important for us to catch it that I'm hurting others with my grumbling, my murmuring. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 14, you're in James still, look back at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 14, a passage dealing with the unity that we're to have one with another and recognizing and recalling our Savior in the beginning of chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now, complaining is infectious, but you know that complaining or murmuring also has an effect on our gospel witness. We are to shine as lights in what kind of a world? Is our world light or dark? It's filled with darkness. What kind of light is reflected of our Savior when we're filled with complaining and disputings and arguing and murmur against each other? I love that word murmur because it sounds like it, doesn't it? Why do we have to do that? I don't like this. This is so... I don't like what they said. I don't like what they did. And murmuring has an effect on our gospel witness. We're to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. You know, when churches are known as places that those people just don't get along even with each other. And by the way, does that ever happen? Can churches be known as grumpy places where people are just never getting along? Yeah, they can. Isn't that a sad testimony to the world? Isn't it a sad testimony when a Christian family who goes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we love God, and then all week long, you know what their neighbors say? Oh, they're at it again. Now, does that help their testimony with their neighbor? Well, obviously not. No. Does it help when I, as a Christian, in front of others who are not Christians, have an attitude of argumentativeness, an attitude of... Facebook is a wonderful invention that creates sometimes the most obvious conflicts in front of a world that's without Christ. You realize that, and by the way, this isn't because of anything I've seen, so y'all are doing fine. I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, okay? But could Facebook be seen if someone's murmuring about their things they don't like in a public setting? Could that have an effect on how someone would view Christ and his work? Absolutely it could. You ought, as you're on any kind of platform, any kind, whatever it is, remember that you are to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. And remember that you're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You ought to expect the grumblings to be in them. By the way, is our world filled with grumblings? Absolutely. Ask anyone who watches what the community says about anything, whether it's the Nextdoor app or the community chat. There's mumbling, there's complaining about everything amongst everyone. You want to be discouraged? Go online and look for someone's opinion. You're going to find mumbling, complaining, grumpy people. You know what you and I are to shine out as? We're to shine out as lights in that kind of world. And part of that is that we not be known as a complaining group of people. That's hard, isn't it? Because we want to complain. We want to share, yeah, I don't like that either. This is what I think. Can I remind you, Christian, grudging, complaining, having an attitude of murmuring is something that causes harm. It's words that would cause harm. Here's a third one. Lying words. Lying words. Not just careless words, not just complaining words, but lying words. Any form of lying. Any kind of deception. Proverbs 24, verse number 28. Proverbs 24 and verse 28 says, be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Deception with the tongue. Any kind of half-truth or half, well, I didn't quite tell them everything. Now, this is an important one because it can cause harm that we don't oftentimes see that we're causing. We know that if I tell someone an outright lie, that could hurt them. You know, told them this was safe and it wasn't safe. What about, though, those areas that we have to consider? Am I giving them all the information that I could give them? Let me give you a very practical one with your words. I think I've mentioned this before. I like to buy and sell my cars. I use cars. I buy them used. I sell them to other people oftentimes, not to dealerships. Now, if you're going to sell a used car, guess what you need to do if you're a Christian? You need to tell them everything that you know before you sell it. He's like, well, but if I tell them everything, they might not want to buy it. Do you want to sleep well at night? Tell them the things that you know. I will tell you, there's a great amount of peace in knowing that you've been honest with your words and not withheld things. And you might be thinking, yeah, but that just doesn't work. You just can't tell them everything. No, you need to be honest. You need to be clear with your words. What does this verse say in Proverbs 20, 4, verse 28? Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and then deceive not with thy lips. Yeah, it's a great car. There's nothing wrong with it. But you know there is something wrong with it. You're deceiving with your lips. Isn't that clear cut enough? Now, you say, but they'll never know. And by the way, plausible deniability is like a big buzzword in our culture today. Well, you can't actually prove that they knew. Don't let your heart be tempted to use any kind of plausible deniability in your own mind. Well, they'll never know. They couldn't ever prove it. You know what that is? That is sin. For you as a Christian to look to outs for your being less than truthful. Can I tell you that that's not the way to use your tongue? It causes harm. It causes harm. It's sin. Deception has no place in the life of a maturing Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You know that your life as a Christian ought to be characterized by truth. The words that come out of your mouth, the way that you present the gospel to people, it ought not be at all involving trickery. It ought not be involved in some kind of, bait and switch. Thank you. Bait and catch. That's fishing. Bait and switch. You know, I'm going to get them, and then I'm going to get them something else. There ever ought be a watchfulness that the words in my mouth aren't trying to deceive someone. Now, do you recognize when you've hurt people with deception? You know, we have to be very honest with ourselves if we're going to start seeing how we're hurting others with deception. This matter of deception or lying words only hurts people. And by the way, who wants that pattern to be yours? Who's the one who is the father of deception, of lies? Our enemy, Satan, is. He desires that to be the pattern of our thinking. You follow the pattern of Satan when you give false impressions of reality. Satan loves misrepresentation. Now, that goes for any one of us to be careful not to say something that isn't true about someone else. You know, well, I don't think they, and then put in the blank. Well, do you know? Well, I don't think it's really that important that I, do you know? You know, we can lie to ourselves very easily, but lying words ought be something that we're watching for, that we're careful of. Here's a fourth one. Gossiping words. Gossiping words. Aren't these all really, Pastor, I mean, seriously, watch what I say. I've got to be careful. Yeah, you do. Yeah. Lying words, yeah, I need to be careful of that. Complaining words, have we touched on anything yet that's found a, you know what, I got to work on that. I will be honest, those are things that ought to be coming through my mind constantly because the tongue is a world of iniquity. So if it's so powerful and if it's so potential for me to cause harm with, is this just like a pie in the sky possibility that you might challenge be challenged with it this week? Or is this something that you probably have been challenged with and you will be challenged with this week? You know, James is not saying it might be something that you ever have to deal with. No, I think it's a constant one. It's a constant one. And the matter of gossiping is important to recognize as well. In 2 Corinthians, well, we're in Proverbs still. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Proverbs 16, 28 says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Have you ever seen the effect of gossiping and splitting people from each other? It is horrendous, and it is an incredible, powerful weapon, isn't it? Did you know what they said? Have you heard what they're doing? Now, kids, can I just encourage you? One of the most important things you can do when someone starts to gossip about someone else is say, have you told them that? Hey, let's get them over here. Why do we not invite someone else over when we're talking about them? What do you think would be the reason? Because we know we'd hurt their feelings, right? Well, if we talked about them in front of them like we're talking about it right now, how would they feel? Now, this is an important thing for us to recognize as Christians, that we ought not be involved in whispering or slandering others. There's a man named Ken Sandy who has a book called The Peacemaker. And in it, he says, gossip is to betray the confidence of another or to discuss unfavorable personal facts about another person with someone who isn't part of the problem or its solution. Now, oftentimes, there is a discussion that goes with someone that you care for and with someone else who can be involved in helping that solution. But if I just find somebody and say, hey, let me tell you everything about something because I just want to tell you about what's wrong with this person and what's great about me, that's gossip. But if you're communicating with someone, and this is a balance that we as Christians have to be so careful about, can you pray with me about this matter? Okay, now, I thank the Lord that I have not observed that just rampantly going through Christians here at New Life Baptist Church. But couldn't that be something that could pick up and that could be, well, would you pray about this? Hey, friend, there needs to be a watchfulness about what we say to other people and how we care about them. And what we're doing with words, not working to hurt people, tearing them down. A talebearer is one that we need to be watching out that we're not. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Turn over to Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Slander could easily be put into this as well, speaking words about another individual in a malicious way to another person who doesn't need to know. Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. I think that's so important because it's, again, alluding to what James is speaking about, the power of the tongue as fire. Well, where no wood is, what do you expect? When there's no fuel, what is going to happen to a fire? It's going to stop. It's going to not have the effect of damage. Verse 21 says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, where does the fire, the dangerous weapon of hurt and strife, where does it go out? It goes out when the fuel is removed. You know what the fuel is here? The talebearer, the one who keeps on telling stories, the one who recognizes this is something juicy, let me tell you, and the fire just keeps going. And then it can spread to someone else who wants to share it with someone else. When I was a kid, I learned very early about fire. If you want to stop a fire in the kitchen, especially if it's an oil fire, grease fire, what do you not do? Someone tell me. You don't put water on a grease fire. What do you do with a grease fire? You put a lid on it, or you suffocate it out with something else, a flour or something that will suffocate out the oxygen to it. Now, putting a lid on it's probably the best thing, all right? But putting a lid on it, over time, what's going to happen inside there? There's not going to be enough oxygen, right? You know, recognizing that someone else is being a talebearer is just as important as our not being a talebearer ourselves. If you recognize someone's wanting to start telling you something and it's not necessary or helpful, you need to help that out by putting the brakes on it, by putting, hey, you know what? Have you talked to that person about this? Let's get them involved with this conversation. That would help, wouldn't it? And kids and adults alike, we've got to be careful with the matter of gossiping words. Have you heard what they did? Have you heard? Have you said? Has it been known to you? We need to be careful of the things that we want to spread. Don't live to share your hurts with others. Sometimes we've been hurt by someone else and we want to tell other people about it. Someone else has done something to us that we didn't like, and so guess what we want to do? We want to tell someone else about how we've been hurt. That doesn't help. That only causes more hurt, more damage. Now, if there's someone that needs to know, okay, kids, if your brother or sister is doing something wrong and they've hurt you, do you need to tell your other brothers and sisters, or who do you need to talk to? You need to talk to your parents, okay? There's a need for that to be resolved, and the person that you're communicating with about it can resolve it. I think it's so important for us to recognize this as Christians. Gossiping words cause harm. Here's the last one, number five, wasted words. Wasted words. Look over to Ephesians 4:29. My Sunday school class looked at this actually this morning. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Wasted words. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And the word corrupt there is worthless. And I would ask you, are your words worthless or wonderful? Are your words valuable, helpful, encouraging, or are they hurtful? Are they corrupt? The word corrupt is the idea of things that are rotting, things that are putrid, things that are no good to anyone. If you want to make someone upset, you give them something that stinks. You know, when we were in Arizona one time, when we were traveling with Bill Rice Ranch, there's a camp for the Bill Rice Ranch in Arizona called West Branch. And one time we were staying out there for some meetings, and Lindsay and I were in this cabin, and underneath the cabin, all in the middle of the night, all of a sudden we heard what sounded like a cat fight right underneath us, underneath the cabin. Animals that were just going at it. And then all of a sudden it got quiet. And then a smell like you never want to smell started to permeate up through the floor. They were skunks fighting under the cabin. Oh, it was awful. And it almost made you sick. And I don't know, but skunks in the West stink worse than skunks in the East. And they're bad here too. But it just was the most wretched smell. It was awful. It was, and it just lingered. And it stayed. It was awful. And I thought, if you could bottle this up and give it to someone, wouldn't that be the most worthless thing you could give someone? The most harmful, the most... Here's a gift. Ugh! Now, friend, you know when you and I use words that are wasted, that are not helpful, it's like that. It's like giving someone skunk smell. It's like giving someone a rotten smell. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It's not just talking about foul language, although that would include, and I would say you do well to recognize how much emptiness is in words, in movies, and songs that are filled with profanity and ought not be utilized by a Christian, not listened to or tolerated. But there's a lot of really wasted words that can come out at times that we take in. I'd be careful of wasted words that are spoken that are just silliness, that are just fluffy, ridiculous talk that really reflect nothing of help to someone else. There's a lot of things we can talk about that don't edify. Do you realize that? Now, you're saying, Pastor, I can't talk about my favorite sports team? No, but if all you ever talk about is your favorite sports team, are you doing much edifying? You follow me here? The word says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. It does something. It builds up. It accomplishes a purpose that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Skunk smell doesn't minister anything to anybody except that's annoying, that's a waste, that was ugh. What about words that are beneficial, that build up someone, that edify? You realize these kinds of weaponizings of the tongue, whether it's words that are wasted, whether it's words that are filled with gossip, whether it's lying, they do damage. And sometimes the damage is not as great as other damage. I mean, lying, Pastor, is far worse than just silly talk. Yeah, but what did you accomplish with your words? You realize that wasted words, gossip-filled words, words that are filled with, it's partly true, complaining words, all of these are dangerous. Go back again to James chapter number 3. James 3. I want you to notice verse 5 again. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, that statement, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, ought be at the forefront of your mind, because whether it's seen to you as a weapon, it has potential to do great harm. Whether you recognize your tongue can be hurtful and damaging to others, you need to recognize how great a matter it is. Sometimes we can excuse our tongue and the words that we've said and the hurt that we've caused and say, well, it wasn't that big a deal, or they've done it to me, and it's not right. And I want to challenge you tonight to consider, how has your tongue been used? Have you been using your tongue in a way that causes harm? Have you been using your tongue, your words, your speech in a way that has hurt other people? You know, the fires that have been going on out in the West, some of them have been started by just some of the most ridiculous things, haven't they? Small things. Campfires that are left. One of them, I think I heard, was one of these gender reveals. Some kind of fireworks or some kind of thing. I mean, anyways, careful with your words. Things that, well, what's the point of that? Why did that cause something? Well, it was small, and yet it caused something no one ever thought it would cause. Why is it we would think that the words that we've used over the past week don't really matter? The words that we've used towards others. And I want to challenge you right now, are there words that you've used in the last week that have been hurtful to someone else? You remember the ones that were hurtful to you, don't you? I mean, that just like pops right up. But do you recognize the times that you've used your words, your mouth, your tongue, in a way that caused hurt to someone else? You know, it might be good for us tonight to recognize, God, I've not been using my tongue with this kind of watchfulness, with an understanding of how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I didn't realize how much damage could come from what I said. I didn't think through how much this might accomplish, that its weaponing might hurt someone else. Maybe tonight you've come to an understanding that I need to be a lot more careful. I need to be a very watchful person with my words, whether it's with my brothers and sisters, whether it's with other Christians, whether it's with my spouse. I have got to be careful that complaining isn't popping up, that careless words aren't popping up, that I'm just saying whatever comes to the top of my mind. And how many times, you know, men, have we ever said something and didn't realize we hurt our spouse? Well, it happens. How quickly will you recognize, I didn't intend for that to hurt, but I didn't think well before I said it. There needs to be an honesty about that tonight, that we say, you know what? I don't want that to continue. Can I challenge you tonight? If there's an area that